Psalms 84, I'll just give you what the Lord has given me. And we begin to pray, of course, last week. We found out the Lord would let us come. Look in verse 1. The Bible said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, and even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, and every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." And I say amen to that. "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." I think in this day we've kind of lost that verse in our churches. Amen. "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." The Bible don't tell us who wrote this psalm. We know it was written to the sons of Korah. You know who they were. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 16 that they withstood. Didn't stand with, but they withstood the man of God. They withstood Moses. But I believe the theme of this chapter, and if the Lord will help me just for a few moments, I want to preach on, thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. I love the church. I thank God for the church. I got saved in the church. And I'm glad, even in coronavirus, I still get to come to church. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the house of God. Can I say four things, first of all, that I believe, no doubt, and we just heard very eloquent, that the church was purposed in the mind of God before he ever laid the old mud seals to this old earth. I'm glad Calvary was not an afterthought of God, but thank God you and I were part of his plan. When he made this old mud ball, he already had a plan for Calvary. He knew what man would do. He knew that man would fall, and thank God he made a way. I'm glad tonight there is a fountain that's filled with blood, that's drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. If a man goes to hell tonight, it's his own fault. There's been a way made, and I'm glad, thank God, I got saved in 1972 as an 8-year-old boy. Amen. Church purposed in the mind of God. Can I say it's purchased by the blood of God? You know, the church isn't a YMCA.
Right.
Y'all don't mind me coming down here, do you? It's not a club.
Right.
It's not a moose lodge.
Yeah.
Amen. It's what Jesus gave his own blood for. That is why I thank God that I don't ever have to worry about losing it, because it's him that saved us, not ourselves. Amen. Thank God it's purchased by the blood of God. Can I say number three? The church is protected by the presence of God. Now, we live in a day where people, they'll go to Walmart and restaurant and Home Depot and Lowe's, but they won't come to church. If you can go to any one of those places, then you ought to be in the house of God. Amen. If I'm going to get coronavirus, I'd rather get it at the church than I would at Lowe's. Amen. Oh, yeah. But what that just shows is their heart. It shows where they are spiritually. Oh, yeah. I was preaching for a fella back in December, and there's a lady, she wouldn't come. And, you know, it's those who wouldn't come. And she was kind of running her mouth to others. And he saw her in a restaurant. And about 80 people in there, nobody wearing a mask. And, boy, she's just having a time. And he looked at her, and he went like this. Oh, and she come a running. Oh, preacher, I know I'm here at the restaurant. Then you ought to be at the house of God. If you can go feed your face, then you ought to be in church. Amen. Hey, I'd rather go to church tonight than any place on the face of God's green earth. I'd rather be here tonight than anywhere. Thank God for the church. I'd rather thank God the church will go up one of these days. It's not going down. It's going up. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the church. Can I say number four? The church will be presented to the Lamb of God. Holy, without spot, and without wrinkle. Amen. Hallelujah. That may not help you, but I've been saved nearly 50 years. And guess what? I still fail God just like you do. But one day, I'm going to be made holy in the sight of God. And I'll never fail him again. I'll never have a bad thought again. I'll never lose my temper again. I'll never have a lack of patience again. I've been told the older you get, the more mellow you get. Well, I sprung a leak when it comes to patience. Amen. I've got less patience than I used to have, but thank God one day I'll be made holy and presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Holy in the sight of God. Amen. Amen. Give you a few things here in the text. Number one, we see David in verse 1 says, he gives a description of the house of God. How amiable. That word means two things. It means how wonderful. You know what he's saying? It's just wonderful to be in church. You could be in jail. Some of you may be supposed to be. But anyway, you could be in the hospital. You could be flat on your back. But guess where you are tonight? You're in the house of God. I'm glad, thank God. I'm like David. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's wonderful to be in church on a Monday night. It's wonderful to be in church on a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. Amen. Thank God. He said it's wonderful. It also means it's wholesome. It's a good place to be. The average church today, the first thing a visitor will ask, what do you do for the young people? I have no problem doing things with young people. I think singing in a choir like they did is pretty good, don't you? One fellow said, you got a 1 o'clock? He said, sure. He said, we have preaching Sunday morning. I want us some more Sunday night, and I want us some more Wednesday night. Amen. That's the kind of 1 o'clock. I like just going to church. I like all kinds of preaching. I like all kinds of singing. I just like to be where the Holy Ghost is in the house of God, gathered around God's people. This old stinking world is full of filth and ungodliness. It's good to come to church and be in the presence of a holy God where God meets with his children. Amen. 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 The description, verse 2, the desire. He said, I'm consumed. He said, matter of fact, I'm about to pass out. I want to go to church so bad. When's the last time you were like that? You know what I remember in the 70s? I was a teenager in the late 70s. I remember back then, people, they got to church early. I mean 30 minutes early. Today, especially on Sunday morning, they get there about 10:15. My pastor that I used to be under in North Carolina, he used to say this. He said, if you drag me through Sunday school, I'm going to drag you through preaching. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we used to have a desire. We couldn't wait. We'd pace back and forth. Honey, let's go. We got to get down to the house of God. There was a desire to be in church. I'm telling you what kind of revival we need today in the churches of our country is a desire to go to church. I'm telling you, that old crowd, they used to make excuses to go to church, and this new generation, they make excuses to stay home. God help us to fall in love with the church. Amen. Amen. Oh yes, consumed. He said, matter of fact, my flesh crieth out for the living God. Think about that. My flesh crieth out. Isn't there just something about church? Man, times you come in, you're down, you're discouraged, and you don't leave that way because you get into the presence of a holy God. I love the church.
Yes, sir.
The Lord knew I needed it, so he put me in evangelism. Brother Buster, he put me in evangelism, and we're at church almost all the time.
Yeah.
But you know what? I still can't wait to get there.
Amen.
I still like it. I still look forward to going. Hey, I'm telling you, I was telling the preacher today at lunch about a dear brother I had preached for years. He'd run 7 or 8 people, and he had to work a job, and he retired, and 5 or 6 months later got corona, and the Lord took him home. But if you'd have met that man out on the road, you'd have thought he's running 750, had $1 million in the bank, because he was just excited about being in church. If there was nobody there, just 8 or 10 of us, I've been telling you, he is shouting me on. He's laughing. He's enjoying church. That's the way it ought to be. I didn't come to church to get out. I came to church to get in. Hey, I came, thank God, to worship him and adore him, to hear preaching like we just heard, magnifying God, exalting who he is. It'll never be about you. It'll never be about me. It'll always be about him. Always be about him. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. It'll never be about Bobby Barnes, and I don't want it today. I want it to be about him. Amen. We see the desire. Verse 3, we see the dedication. You know, he talked about a bird building a nest in God's house. And preacher, I said, Lord, why would you put there about a sparrow and a swallow building a nest in God's house? He said, I'll tell you why. Because you need to build your house around God's house. What's going on in your house ought to depend on first what's going on in God's house. If your child plays Little League, don't know if you do, but he definitely never does it on Wednesday night. Never. They never practice basketball on Wednesday night. We're going to church. You teach that child the church is more important than any stinking ball game ever desired to be. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the church is so important. He said, build your house around the house of God. I preached for a fella every year, the same week and the same month. And he had a fella in his church. He'd always say to the preacher, you always book revival during my vacation. Now, here's the funny part. The crazy nut was retired. He could go anytime he wanted to. The truth of the matter is, he didn't want to be there during revival time. I'm telling you, hey, 2020, old Corona come by and it kicked him out of his vacation. I'm not going to lie to you. I loaded him up all week long. Amen. He ought to have been at the house of God. If you know when revival is and meeting, you don't go on vacation. You don't go out of town. You put the church first in your life, and God will honor that. God will bless you. Because that you put God first and the church, you put it first, and God will bless your family. Amen. Amen. Then he said that bird laid her young on the altar. What about that? You build your hopes around the house of God. My wife, we never able to have children. She was never able. About time we thought about adoption, she got pretty sick. But I thought, if I had a boy, I would much rather my boy be sitting on the front pew, shouting and praising God, carrying a King James Bible, or Brother Hedder, or your family singing, than if he could throw a 70-yard touchdown or score 50 points in a basketball game. You hear me? That is all a bunch of nonsense, and it'll all fade away. But thank God what he does for over yonder, it'll be there forever. I'm telling you, build your hope. Lay those children on the altar. Give them to God and beg God to do a work in their life. Keep them in revival. Keep them in the church. Get them in the choir. Teach them how to tithe. Teach them to read their Bible. And I'm telling you, God will bless your family. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We see number 4, verse 4, 5, and 6, the dwelling in the house of God. You know, he said in verse 4, he will still be praising thee. You know what God will give you? if you stay with the church, he'll give you a song. I can't promise you, you're not going to go by the cemetery. I can't promise you, you're not going to be by the bedside of a loved one. I can't promise you you're not going to lose your job. I can't promise you that your children won't go astray. I can't promise you you're going to not have issues in life. But I tell you what I can promise. Brother Bo, if we'll stay with God, he'll give a song in the middle of the night. Job had lost everything he had. And you know what he said? He said, I found a song in the middle of the night. I'm glad, thank God, down through the years and the valleys that I've climbed through and the obstacles I've climbed over, that I'm glad, thank God, I stay with God and I stay with the church. And hallelujah, in the middle of the night, I thank God I found a song. I'm glad God will always honor his word. You just stay with God, stay with the church, and you'll get through the storm. Amen. Verse 5, he said, I'll give you strength. You know, there's strength in the house of God. Verse 6, he said, you'll be a survivor. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, that means a valley of weeping. He said, I'll turn it into a well. The church I was a member of in Monroe, North Carolina, Brother Steve Griffith was my pastor at that time, back in the 90s. Right before I had joined that church, there was a young man in the church. Brother Stephen went to him and he said, you have got to get right with God. And that young man said, I'll do what I want to. Brother Steve gave him a time to repent. He did not. And they churched him. You know, that's a thing of the past today. You can live about any way you all want to and be a part of a Baptist church today. I remember days when you got saved, you got out of the mire and you got in the choir. Amen. You got out of that mess. But anyhow, that boy's mom and daddy raised their hand to vote out their own son. About 2 years later, there's an old-fashioned tent meeting, and that old boy found his way there one night. He didn't get saved right there. He left and he went to the McDonald's where they were all at. And he slid on his knees in McDonald's, and he got born again. You know what I say? That's the best thing ever come out of McDonald's. But anyway, I just can't. But the truth of the matter is that boy got saved by the grace of God. Hey, God called that boy to preach and gave him a family and he became a missionary. Several years had passed. I called his dad one day. I said, Brother Wayne, how you doing? And he busted out crying. And he said, I'm doing wonderful. I just got a letter from a boy. God's a working. God's a moving. You know what happened? God turned that valley around. They didn't get mad at God. They didn't get mad at his word. They didn't get mad at the preacher. They stayed with God, and God honored that. Amen. Always stay with the book and the preacher. Amen. We see number 5 in verse 7 and 8 what's demonstrated in the house of God. He talked about his presence. Everyone appeareth before God in Zion. You know what makes the difference in church? It's God. Our churches are becoming so dead. No life whatsoever. And I believe it's because we've become so carnal. We're so full of the world. When you walk into a church, people are not talking about what they've read in their Bible that day. They're not talking about what's going on in their life. They're talking about everything else, and there's no Holy Ghost around. I'm telling you, I'm kin to it. Praise God. I like it when the Holy Ghost comes around. Amen. His presence. I remember I pastored a little church back in, I guess, around, I believe, 1989. And be honest with you, I was only there a year. I think I pestered them more than I pastored them. Amen. But I remember one Sunday morning, it was about 1 minute till 11, and the piano player for some reason started playing Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. I began to watch people's shoulders shake as the Spirit of God began to move, weeping all over the house. And I was just a 24-year-old young boy. I didn't know what in the world to do, but we had a visit from the Holy Ghost that day. I'm telling you, you'll never forget those in your life when the Spirit of God shows up. Thank God for His presence. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about a bunch of program. I don't care about listening
Listen, that crowd there turned their ceilings black, brought in the strobe lights, and they play rock music and that garbage. Just give me the Holy Ghost and give me the church, and I'll be happy. Amen. Amen. Not only the presence, but his priesthood. He said, hear my prayer. Don't you thank God we have access? When I preach on prayer, to me, Pastor, prayer is one of those subjects we sing about a lot and we talk about a lot, but we practice it very little. My old granny was an old-time Methodist from the mountains of West Virginia. You know what she did? She prayed about 3 hours every day. You're talking about being full of the Holy Ghost. She got Alzheimer's, and it was my mama's mama. And we went to my brother's house, me and my dad. And she was sitting there just staring out the window, kind of not knowing what's going on. She hardly spoke to anybody. But when we walked in the room, there was the presence of a holy God. My dad punched me in the arm and he said, boy, do you feel that? And I said, oh, yeah. You know what he said? He said he's watching over. She had been in his presence 3 hours every day for 50 years. And now she don't know how to do that. So he just hovering around her because she'd been in his presence. Oh, you hear me, friend? I'm telling you, we've got to get back to praying. We've got to get back to getting in the closet. Shut the phone down. Shut the computer off and get in the closet and spend time with the Holy God. Oh, that God would come and meet with us. We've got to pray it down. Amen. Amen. We see what's demonstrated. We see the delight in the house of God. You know what David said? I'm just thankful for this place. I don't know where your dad had started the West Side, but when I got saved at West Side, it was on West 28th Street off Lorraine, right there off of West 25th Street, and right around the corner. You know what? The first Sunday I went there, I'm 8 years old. I'm already fallen in sin because that's what I was raised in. My daddy was a drunkard. My brothers turned out to be all three of them dope dealers. And that is the route I was headed. And the first time I walked into that church, I heard preaching. I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was. But Brother Mark, something got a hold of me. And tears began to run down my cheeks. I didn't get saved that day. But thank God, the third time that I went to that church, I got birth into the family of God. Amen. That building was so dilapidated and falling apart, they put out the buckets to catch the water in it when it rained. You hear me? Today, matter of fact, about 2 years later, they had torn that building down and we went across town on Cypress Avenue. But I'm telling you, I'll never forget that place. It's where I got born again. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. We went across town, and my old mama, she was saved as a teenage girl. Listen to me, young people. But she wouldn't serve God. They'd come and knock on the door. We want you to come. And she'd say, I know, I know. And God judged her, and she got cancer. She died at the age of 38 years old. You remember one thing tonight, if you don't remember anything I say. When the judgment hand of God begins to fall, he's going to mete out his judgment. Because my mama got right with God. My dad had just gotten saved about 4 or 5 months or so. And we were going to church over there on Cypress Avenue. And my mother was so weak. And I remember she'd push herself up from all of them cancer treatments. And she'd say, I want to thank my Jesus. And it's hard to believe, but us Yankees, we shouted the house down. Amen. We praise God. I'll never forget that place. And then Joe Williams. We left there. He went to the Cleveland Baptist Temple that Brother Fuller was talking about. And I was a young boy in them early teenage years. You know what God did through that man? He put some principles in me that I still have today. I thank God for that place. He died last month, 81 years old. I drove 10 hours one way. For the funeral, took the next day, drove back home 10 hours for one thing, to honor that man of God
because of his investment in my life. You young people ought to thank God for the investment of the man of God in your life. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful. I'm telling you, he's against everything. He'd have preached against eating and breathing if he could have got by with it. I'm telling you, he's against everything that ever was. But he's a man of God, and he stood and he told the truth. And the principles that he put in my heart, I thank God for that. I'm not this new crowd, what they call a recovering fundamentalist. That's a bunch of garbage. I thank God for old time leather lung Holy Ghost preaching, where a man told me what the Bible says. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. He didn't try to make me happy. He just told me what God said. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The delight in the place, the delight in the position. He said, I'd rather just be an old doorkeeper. Preacher, maybe you can enlighten me. I really want to believe that David wrote this. I don't know that he did. But I tell you why I think maybe David did write it. Because even in the Old Testament, everybody gave reverence to the king. Even Nathan, the man of God, would come and he'd bow before the king. You know what David's thought was? If I hold the door, then everybody's not going to bow because they'll never get in the church. He said, I want them to come to church and realize there's only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords. When we come to God's house, that's always just about him. Amen. Hey, the position of just being a doorkeeper. Lee Davis came to Galilee years ago. I was a member there. And he said when he got saved, he said, I didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't know anything about God. He said, about 6 months of being saved, they asked me to take up the offering. And he said, I went to him and said, you mean me? You mean you would let me take up the offering? He was overwhelmed at the privilege to pass a plate. I thought, Lord, what if we came in Sunday morning and said, you mean me? You're going to let me sing in the choir? You're going to let me play the piano? You're going to let me play us and sing a special? You're going to let me teach Sunday school? You're going to let me preach? You're going to let me sit in the congregation and lift up my voice and lift up my head? You're going to let me give my tithe and my offering? You're going to let me do that? I'll tell you, we'd have church. We have church. Most time we almost think we do God a favor when the favor is all ours. I should be in hell tonight. But thank God I'm in church. David gives a disclaimer, number 7, and I'm done. He said, verse 11 and 12, if you go to the house of God, he'll be a provider. He said he'll be a son. A son is a giver. It gives light. You know what? If you'll honor God, he'll honor you. I tell young people everywhere I go, don't go get a job that you got to work on Sunday. Some men, they've already got their careers, and I understand all that. But if you're a young person, just don't choose one. Oh, it may cost you $2 an hour or more, but I'm telling you, the benefits will be out of this world. Amen. Number 2, he'll be a protector. He said he'd be a shield. You know what I think? I believe that there's an umbrella protection for those who stay in the house of God. I am fortunate, thank God, I've never got out of church, and I'm so grateful for that. But in 50 years, I tell you, I don't know how many people I've seen get out of church, and they lose that umbrella. Their family gets destroyed. Their marriage gets destroyed. Their kids get destroyed. They become dope addicts and lesbians and homosexuals. I'm telling you, friend, because they left the house of God. You're going to have problems as a child of God. You're going to have trouble as a child of God. But thank God, if you stay in the church house, the Lord will get you through it, and he'll walk with you, and he'll help you every step of the way. Amen. You never benefit by getting out of church. Never. I'd rather be by him. Number three, he said he'd give grace. He's a helper. And he said, number four, he'd give honor. He said, I'll give glory. There's just something about the church tonight. I am not ashamed that I go to a Baptist church. They asked Billy Kelly, what would you be if you were not a Baptist? He said, I would be ashamed if I wasn't one. Amen. I'm not ashamed. And he said, there's nothing wrong with going to heaven first class. Hallelujah. Not a problem at all being a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't drop my head. You know, I used to preach for a fella, and he had a front tag he had put on his car. And he said, I'm the pastor of that Baptist church. Because you know how it is when you knock on a door and you invite them, they say, oh, you go to that church. Yeah, you go down there to that church. One time I was witnessing to my neighbor when I lived in South Carolina, and I invited him to our church when he had moved in. He said, oh, I heard some things down there. He said, I heard down there that the women can't talk. I said, all you have to do is come and see. That's a lie. Amen. He said, I heard they can't wear makeup. I said, come and see. You can tell that's a lie too. He said, and I also heard y'all handle snakes. Can you believe that? I said, well, now I know that's a lie because I wouldn't be there. Amen. I said, we don't handle snakes. I said, no doubt we got some snaky people. Amen. It is a Baptist church. But it's amazing how people will tell things about a church because of the truth being preached down there. You know what the world, the news media, and this administration wants you to be? Intimidated because you don't believe they're garbage. Well, I'm serving notice on them. I'm not intimidated. Amen. I'm glad what I am, an old-fashioned, independent, hellfire, brimstone preacher. Amen. Not ashamed a bit. I thank God for the church.